Hey, this is Bob WP, and welcome to Inside Woo, a Do the Woo podcast show. Woo! Woo! I'd like to thank our sponsor, Kinsta, offering a high-performance hosting platform with managed WordPress hosting, powered by Google Cloud, and ensuring fast load times and robust security. Please check them out at insta.com.
Hey, it's James Kemp from WooCommerce, and I'm joined with Darren Ethier from WooCommerce as well. Darren, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do at WooCommerce?
Sure. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Pretty excited to be invited and join you, James, on this. I always like talking with folks. So I'm one of the engineering directors for Woo. And for the longest time at Woo, I've been working on the intersection of Gutenberg and WooCommerce and all the changes that have been happening there. So helping promote that and work towards Woo's future in that context. So that's kind of the overall story for me.
Yeah, I think one of the things since I've joined Woo is if I have any kind of engineering question, Darren is the person that I'll reach out to, and he seems to know where to direct me, who to talk to, all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So yeah, that's been really great. And we had a session in WordCamp Europe of this year, where we got together a group of agencies, WooCommerce developers, and that kind of stuff, including Bob. And we had pizza. A bit of a pizza party and just a chance to kind of sit down with some agents.
Let's have some pizza.
Yeah, it was really nice, and it was your idea actually. You brought it to me, and we made it happen. That was very interesting to put together. How did you feel about the kind of conversations we were able to have?
It's really great. I think you know, one of the things that's obviously one of the values of WordCamps is connecting with people in the community of working on WordPress, and especially for Woo, you know, just having an opportunity to connect with people who use Woo and build for Woo and hear their perspective on what the what's going well, what's not going well, and just learning about the types of things they're hearing from their users, and seeing where it lines up with what we're hearing and the research we're doing as well. And just building relationships is often really cool because, you know, when you connect on Twitter or you connect in other contexts, if you've had that in-person kind of gathering over food is always good. It just makes things go a little bit easier. You get to know each other's personalities and stuff like that. So, and it also is really fitting too with over the past 2-3 years, I think in particular, we've kind of had this internal mantra that we've been, you know, drip over time is like default to public with everything we do and communicating and engaging with the community and just really getting doing even more of our development in public so that we're getting more visibility into the kinds of things we're wrestling with, which especially for any of the newer stuff that's happening with WordPress, I think is really valuable, both because we see what people are struggling with in the community, but also give the community insight into some of the problem space we're struggling with and how we're going about tackling that, which in the end helps us make a better product, I believe. So we've definitely stepped that up in the past few years.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, one of the things that I have always done, even prior to being with WooCommerce, is be quite public about what I'm working on, and just connect with people and talk to people. I can't remember when you published it, but one of the first P2 posts that I saw, and P2 is like our internal version of WordPress, was a post from you talking about how we should be more public, and we should, you know, talk more with the community and just talk about what we're working on, get feedback before it's kind of too late, before we roll these things out into WooCommerce itself. And I think that's really valuable. It's still something that we're figuring out the best, you know, avenues to do that. And I think the meal we had in Europe was a good example of how we could execute on that plan. But also, you know, something I do a lot is I use Twitter or X quite frequently to connect with primarily agencies and developers, you know, plugin developers, and also developers building WordPress and WooCommerce websites. We also have the developers blog, where we've started. One of the things that Brent from Developer Advocacy has done is enable, I guess, anyone to publish posts on the developer blog, but primarily the product managers have a lot of flexibility to publish on there and get feedback. So you should start to see some posts coming through on there, and I think they're assigned to the roadmap category. Our roadmap on there is more like, it's less fixed dates and more like, these are things that we're working on. Which is quite an interesting approach.
Yeah, and there's you've hit on some, like, there's different levels of how this happens. I mean, there's the one-to-many where we're kind of broadcasting what we're doing and how we engage. And, you know, sometimes we're just experimenting with a bunch of different things to learn what works best. And I guess from my perspective, what I really like too is this, when it's not just one way, us to the community, but it's also a community to us. Like, we can provide more avenues for that type of communication to happen, whether it be on, you know, the Twitter and just listening to what's being said around there, or Blue Sky, which is the latest hotspot now, or, you know, our GitHub discussions is open as well. Anybody can start a discussion. Maybe it's not a specific bug that you're dealing with or a feature that you want, but just describing, you know, something you're trying to accomplish in WooCommerce that you can't, and some of the roadblocks you're hitting. We had a recent discussion that got opened up about, you know, our use of a compatibility layer in the code base to help bridge between some of the older way of extending Woo and in some of the newer stuff we're building across blocks and templates. And that's kicked off a really good discussion about our philosophy and our approach to how we're rolling out these changes and what we're headed towards that, you know, may surface in a blog post at some point. But it got kickstarted by somebody in the community that was really saying, like, hey, this isn't working for us. And it would be great if you could extend this more broadly. And even internally, it's kicked off, you know, different views of what we should do here. But that's the kind of thing that I think is so valuable that comes out of this kind of default to public mindset, because we wouldn't encounter that if we didn't do that. And it also really fits in with our whole open source ethos as well. Like, we really believe in the importance and the value of WooCommerce being open. And it goes beyond just the software. It's about how we do our work as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting one to tackle. I mean, I think you've touched on it before. There's so much changing now in the way that WordPress does things. You know, I've worked with WooCommerce for 11 or 12 years from the beginning, and it was very much like PHP focused, and jQuery was the thing to use. Whereas now it's a completely different landscape with blocks and all that kind of stuff. Where do we stand with extending blocks in a way that was similar to how we used to be able to do with PHP? Because I know that's something that I see come up quite a lot. And it's also, I would say, one of the reasons that WooCommerce is so successful is that we, as builders, have been able to expand what WooCommerce can do. So I think there's definitely some concern there that expanding the, you know, the block, the React interface is a lot trickier than it has been with PHP.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that extending WooCommerce at the end of the day should be about extending WordPress. And that's an important thing to keep in mind because WooCommerce is a plugin built on top of WordPress. So in many ways, this influences not only the experience that users have, the end users have when they work through the, whether they're working on the admin or on the front end, their experience with WooCommerce will be the same as, you know, their experience with WordPress will be the joint experience with WooCommerce. But it's also influences like how we build on top of WordPress. If WordPress is changing some of the philosophies and approaches to how things are built, that naturally is going to trickle down to how Woo addresses that. And so I think what will remain true, no matter what, is that flexibility is a primary pillar and strength of what we have. And that applies both at the code level, and what we're seeing even more so now is at the no-code level, the flexibility, what the end user is able to do without code. And that impacts how we build things. Like, rather than, you know, strictly thinking about flexibility at the code level and how people can extend and use that for anything they need to make, which I think will always remain to a degree. How it happens definitely is changing. But we also have to think about when we're building our products, how does that work for the user at the no-code level? And are there things that, you know, they should be able to do, or should that be something that should be controlled by, you know, whoever's extending it to have their own product features? Maybe they don't want the user to be able to do that, or maybe agencies want to lock down certain parts of it. So, I mean, I'm not getting too deep into the, you know, specific technical stuff, but I think at a higher level, thinking about the fact that WooCommerce is built on WordPress and a lot of what we do is influenced and shaped by that. A good example is, you know, even just talking about blocks, for example, and how pages are built, how templates are built. There's a whole change in the paradigm there between, you know, the PHP templates that have both the business logic and the display logic all encapsulated in that PHP file. And you can basically go in and modify that and have it do whatever you need, or be really complex and take care of a whole bunch of conditional stuff that happens right in that template. Whereas in the block paradigm, all that business logic is becomes more encapsulated by the actual blocks themselves, and the templates themselves are more concerned with the layout and the presentation. So there's been a little bit of a separation of concerns there. So that's a bit of a shift in mindset. And I definitely see that the flexibility is still there, but it's more curated. There's more clear pathways to how you extend things, which in the end should, the goal is to make it easier for the developer or the builder working on top of that, because they're not having to try to figure out among the 100 or 200 different ways of how to do something. It may be maybe 20 or 30 different ways instead, right? Which not only allows them to continue to have the flexibility for what they need to build, but also build it in a way that is consistent with the user experience across WordPress and across Woo. And I think that's what we're heading more towards as we continue to see this take shape across WordPress and then across Woo. And there's still a lot of stumbling we're doing along the way. You know, either we used to be able to do this and we can't do that now. Like, that's a gap, obviously. Or the whole thing around the build process is so complex and difficult right now. Like, that's a pain point that shouldn't be there for the developers building on top of our stack. So let's think about how would we improve that, or maybe reversing some of the decisions we've made there in some cases.
One of the big focuses of 2025, I guess, is builder tools and how we can improve what we have already and how we can add to the stack of builder tools that we have available. So I think that'll be a really interesting exploration to take. Because, you know, right now, when a builder spins up a WooCommerce site, they have the same experience as a merchant, essentially. you know, they get the onboarding, they have to either dismiss it or go through it in the same way that a merchant would. Yeah. And we should really lean into the fact that we know there's a lot of WooCommerce websites are built by builders or agencies. And that should entail a different experience. Whether that's like, I've touched on the idea of configuration files that they can kind of utilize to initially configure WooCommerce, or, you know, have like a base that they always work from in some way. I don't know what that would look like in reality, but that's the kind of thing that we want to explore a bit more.
Yeah, and it's very much connected to, you know, this whole deep work to public thing. Like, we want folks who are you know, who are building lots of WooCommerce sites, who have developed their workflows for streamlining how they build for their clients, how they do handoffs. You know, if there's things related to setting up payment, payment extensions, for example, oftentimes there's a lot of overlap between what a merchant or the end user on the store is building versus the builder who's building for them and then handing off to them. And it's, there's these weird overlaps that make it hard to determine, you know, when to do that handoff. And it goes even all the way back to even licensing, like when it relates to the builder buying these plugins or these extensions for mm-hmm. their builds, like how do they manage that in an effective way where they don't have to renew? I mean, it covers a whole wide range of different things that we want to hear from builders, what, how they're doing things right now, like what's working well for them, what are some of the tools they've made themselves that have worked really well, because we might spot some patterns that we can bring into WooCore that don't necessarily replace everything that people are doing, but enhance what they're doing. Maybe help them remove some of those steps that they have to have in their own tooling. And I think that's important too. Like, as we do this stuff, we want to make sure that what we ship in core gives a great default experience out of the box. Like, it's just awesome for the needs of most stores, while recognizing there's still going to be that last mile of customization or flexibility that, you know, is one of the strengths of Woo. We hear over and over again that people stick with Woo despite some of its gaps and deficiencies because they can do whatever they want. And we have to be careful that we don't lose that, I think, as we work towards this future of more curated extensibility, more consistent user experience. There's still always going to be that, you know, that last mile of really personalizing and customizing the experience for the stores that are being built for.
Yeah, like you say, that's the beauty of WooCommerce, is that you can essentially make it do whatever you want it to do. It does lead quite nicely into an effort that I've been talking about a lot recently, which is the More in Core effort. Sorry, my camera froze again.
It's okay.
More in Core. This is an initiative that we're undertaking, and the goal of it is to ensure that the core of WooCommerce, the base plugin that you install, has all of the essential basic features that a merchant might be looking for. So part of that strategy is to potentially roll in a lot of our premium extensions. And this is our own, Woo-branded premium extensions that we have in the marketplace currently. And we've seen that already in progress with brands, which was rolled in recently. I think it's not officially available to everyone, but I think that's coming in at the end of this month, or
I think so. Yeah,
it's pretty soon. So it exists, but it's not necessarily just there by default. Yeah. And brands is a massive one. You know, you touched on my puzzle site that I was working on. Brands is something that I just used straight away because, you know, I need to put a brand on those different puzzles. And it makes sense to have that kind of feature in core. Some of the other ones we're looking at are back in stock notifications, where it's kind of an essential feature, right? If your customer is interested in a product, then they should be able to know when it's back in stock. You know, it's very basic functionality. It's not doing anything too exceptional in terms of functionality or, you know, like feature set. It's literally just sending an email when a product is back in stock. And that's the kind of stuff that we should be looking at for core.
Yeah.
There's other products that we have that I think need some assessment, and that's something that I'm going to be doing with some members of the team, and also just like community feedback and all that kind of stuff to see like which of these features do you want in core, like which should be in core. There's discussion around like product add-ons and gift cards. Some of that stuff I'm not entirely convinced should be in core. As they are anyway, maybe a basic form of it. But yeah, in my mind, like coupons are kind of a basic form of gift cards. There's a lot of exploration that needs to happen there too.
It's an interesting tension there. And I know we've already seen this happen as we've been talking more about more and core. There's a tension between what do most stores need out of the box that there's friction right now for them getting configured and set up because it's not included with Woo. It's something that they have to research among the myriad of different solutions that are out there to figure out which one is the best one for them. Versus this mindset of core being really lean and, you know, leaving it up to people don't want the added quote unquote bloat of having things that they'll never use, or, you know, it even goes back to, you know, some of the things, tension that was around Jetpack over the years with Jetpack being having everything in there. And I think, you know, what we've heard over and over again as we've been looking at stores and how what they typically need to get off the ground, what we're seeing in the competitor market for what is attracting people to our competitors. And, you know, frankly, there are gaps in people starting Woo. And one of the biggest frustrations is I need to go and research all these additional things after I install Woo to get the functionality that my store needs.
And so, we hear that a lot, right? That one of the biggest issues that merchants have, and one of the main reasons they leave WooCommerce, is because they have to deal with this plethora of plugins just for basic functionality. And I think plugins are absolutely fine if they're adding expanded functionality. And we're not trying to get rid of that market at all. We're just we want the basics to be available out of the box without this need. And then if there's like specific needs or you know, enhanced versions of the basics that they require, then they can go and find these plugins and these extensions that handle that stuff.
Yeah, and that leans into one of the strengths of Woo being its flexibility can also be one of its weaknesses. Because
and WordPress in general.
And WordPress in general, right. Because the risk does exist that the user experience is fractured when you have different extensions adding functionality or different ways of adding the same functionality. And the whole additional load of having to keep those things updated, an update breaking that functionality because that extension or plugin developer just happens to not follow the changes and you know, all that stuff. So I think there's this recognition where we try to balance this tension of what goes in core versus what remains out is reducing some of that overhead of those key kind of table stakes, important things for stores that they shouldn't have to think about how it works together with all the other feature set in their stores, how the user experience flows between the different contexts in which they're working with that feature, and even the nitty-gritty of keeping things updated, you know, like having to update those different plugins. And so I think there's room, even with the flexibility of Woo, to be more opinionated in how the commerce experience is out of the box for the majority of stores, to remove some of that decision angst that, you know, stores have to go through when they're first setting up their stores or they're maintaining their stores over the long haul. And even for builders, I think that can alleviate some of the friction they experience when they have merchants coming and saying, I need XYZ functionality and I wanted to do this and this. And then builders have to think about even just the base framework for whatever that feature set is before they even get into what their user needs are for the store they're building, right? But if we're able to take care of that base feature set that most stores have, that just removes a whole set of problems from the whole experience. And then, yeah, builders can extend on top of that for the niche or custom bespoke needs that the store may have, but in a way that reduces the transfer conflicts with other plugins that down the road the merchant may, add because it adds additional functionality. So I think it's, you know, it's just managing that tension well and balancing that well. And again, going back to why we hear from the community and we reach out to find out what people are already doing in this space, and where can we adopt the best solution for that.
If you are looking for hosting via cloud servers for your client sites, consider checking out Kinsta. With their container technology, you are assured of no shared resources. Plus, you get global CDN, edge caching, and Cloudflare Enterprise for all your sites. It doesn't stop there, though. Auto backups, staging, plugin vulnerability alerts, and uptime monitoring comes with 24/7 support that you can expect from humans. Add to this, for agencies, look into their partner programs with some nice extras, plus an account manager and custom plans to meet the needs of your client sites. All this and more, just head over to kinsta.com.
I think there's a lot of considerations to make. And I think one of the things that I've heard from the community as well is they want to know what that criteria is for things that we put into core. These are things that you shouldn't touch as a plugin developer because we'll probably want to put them in core. And that's something that we plan to document, I think. I think it'd be useful to put that out there, what that criteria might look like. And really, it's like you were saying, you know, it's the majority use case. So the majority of users require this functionality and we don't have it. It's competitor analysis. You know, the competitors have these features, they're well received. It's community feedback, like the community, developer community or merchant community believes that this stuff should be in core. So there's a whole bunch of data points that are going to determine what features should be in core. And then also just, you know, a bit of product decision and common sense, I guess.
And I think at the end of the day, you know, what drives a lot of the things we're thinking about for a product in Woo is the user experience across our product. I mean, we want to make sure that from setting up a store to maintaining a store and the day-to-day work and all the stuff that different, and that's the other whole other angle is the different contexts of people who work in a store. I mean, you have people who might be designing your store versus people who are just doing the day-to-day management. But all across all those contexts, that there's a really great user experience. And I think we can do a lot better in that area and be more opinionated in some ways. And I think that will inform, you know, kind of where we draw the line and what's in core versus what can be extended, because we have more control over that overall user experience. And it's kind of set the guardrails for the flexibility within that user experience. You could still do incredible, great stuff, unique stuff, but for the end user, it still feels like it's part of the whole.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. We're still part, you know, a bit away from there, but we're getting there.
Yeah. I mean, that's the 2025 goal, right? Is this more part of the 2025 goal is more in core. I I put some messaging out yesterday regarding the name Mooring Core, because I had some feedback that it could imply bloat, and we mentioned, we touched on this earlier as well. Mm-hmm. And I think I see the value in that feedback, because really we're not just adding more to Core for the sake of it. Yeah. We're adding essential features into Core that aren't currently there. Whether that's, you know, from our premium plugins, or just features that don't exist already in our product collection, then that's the kind of stuff that we're looking at. And that might also involve working on what's there already, what we already have in Core, maybe we don't need. So it could involve some stripping back. Mooring Core is a nice phrase, because it rhymes.
It's quite catchy.
But it doesn't truly encapsulate everything that is going into it. And I think that's where our messaging on that effort is going to come into play. I would keep an eye on the developer blog for that kind of stuff. I'll probably put a post up. I would imagine January time, hopefully kind of saying this is the strategy and these are the features or products that are next up on the list to add to Core. And I imagine that strategy is going to evolve over time.
Yep, definitely.
But I think the key thing is we want feedback on this kind of stuff.
That's exactly it. It dovetails with what we've been talking about defaulting to public. That, you know, we're communicating even at the early stages of a lot of this stuff, because we recognize that's where we can sometimes get the best feedback. You know, there's more freedom to and flexibility for us to kind of revisit some of the assumptions we made as we've started thinking about this. Like the assumption of Mooring Core, everybody would get what we mean by that. But no, clearly we're getting the wrong impressions out there. So we have to revisit even what we call this thing, you know.
Saying that though, a lot of the feedback was that Mooring Core is the perfect name.
I mean, you get a mix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it is a good name. It's catchy. I just think, like I say, the messaging behind it needs just putting out there, having a location of this is where you can go to read more about this initiative.
It's a good, something else that's been really on my mind is our connection. I touched on this a little bit earlier, a connection to WordPress and how that impacts how we build and what we build. Mm. And the user experience. Because one of the things we're finding, we've really realized even in the past couple of years, we've always known this, and I think everybody in the WooCommerce community knows this, that with Woo being a WordPress plugin, it's just, it's going to inherit a lot of the experience that WordPress offers. But I think what we're realizing more is that we need to treat WordPress as much a part of our product as WooCommerce. In other words, it's not something else that we worry about what WordPress is doing and then, they're doing that kind of thing. It's more that, we have to evaluate any improvements we make. Is this something that we need to fix in WordPress or contribute to in WordPress to improve versus trying to work around that in how we does things? There's been this mindset in some contexts where WordPress isn't commerce friendly, the UX isn't friendly, the information architecture isn't friendly for somebody who just wants to build a store and, work from that kind of mindset. And so we need to build a more commerce friendly element in WooCommerce and fix it that way. Whereas I think, actually it's the opposite, especially with WordPress being in the transition is right now, rethinking through how the admin works and how people interact with moving through to different contexts, or this whole mindset that Matt has promoted of WordPress being the operating system of the web. We really have the opportunity to influence what's happening in the WordPress space. So not only does it give us more flexibility for how the user interacts with WooCommerce in the context where they're thinking primarily about their store functions and features, but also for every other plugin in the WordPress space. Because it's interesting, you know, that a lot of our merchants don't only just install WooCommerce extensions, things specific for commerce, but also will install plugins to help them just for their site in general, like SEO or, you know, some of the other things that they might do on their content side of things. So I think it's really us shifting this mindset to WordPress is as much a product as WooCommerce, and make sure we're investing in contributing upstream where necessary to improve that product surface area.
And that's come into effect with the product editor work that we were doing, right? That project got pretty far and then essentially got paused.
Yeah. We realized that we were doing the right thing in connecting this to how users are managing their products and recognizing that the default classic interface that people have used for so long, which many people have developed their own workflows around, they've accommodated it to fit their needs. But finding out what those workflows are and how could we improve that with the default experience. And then trying to incorporate some of the APIs that we knew WordPress was exposing at that level. It was very creative. It was very groundbreaking in some cases, but we found we were getting ahead of WordPress and too far ahead. And some of the gaps that we were trying to address in the product editor are really gaps that need to be addressed upstream. And so, you know, putting the product editor work on pause and intentionally working upstream on some of those gaps, like what's happening with the data views and data forms projects in WordPress, will not only help the work that we want to eventually do with the product editor, but also across the WooCommerce admin with things like settings and even some of the different views that we're doing with email or analytics, all those sorts of things. So again, going back to the user experience being across the whole product editor experience, across the whole admin experience, whether it be fixing something in the configuration of their store and the settings, or whether it be managing a product and then switching to, I want to customize how this product looks to shoppers on the front end and their experience. Just more holistically thinking about where is the APIs that need to be addressed here? What is the user views that need to be addressed that we can then replicate across our product surface area? And right now, for many of those, that's upstream work. And for builders, that should result in a better experience as well, because instead of having to learn the WooCommerce-specific way of extending things, they're really learning the WordPress way of extending things in this new paradigm and can apply that to what they build on top of WooCommerce as well without having to learn a bunch of new things. So it's kind of the mindset behind that shift.
What do you think the timeline is like on that product editor?
It's tricky because...
Is the plan to pick up where we left off, or is the plan to revisit?
So the plan is to kind of, I imagine a lot of the UI elements will remain similar, and maybe the tech stack underneath that changes. But even with what we're doing upstream, we're going to be prototyping some of that work into, you know, what we've done with the product editor so far. And we also want to make sure we come up with some sort of, if possible, migration plan for those who have already built on top of the beta version of the product editor. And make sure we're also satisfying some of the needs that we already saw surface, especially from developers who are trying to extend the beta product editor that we put out. We know there's some pain points that already came up, and we're hopeful that we can address a lot of that with the new stuff. So, right now we have two engineers working upstream in the WordPress project to with data forms and data views and making sure that some of WooCommerce needs are addressed there. And keeping in mind that when you're working directly in a WordPress project, it's not just for WooCommerce. It's for everybody building on top of WordPress.
Yeah.
So feasibly, it's introducing that flexibility in a way that we can adapt it for our needs to make sure it's going to meet the needs of our stores and builders on top of Woo. But also keeping in mind, it's also going to work for anybody building a plugin in the ecosystem, which is a win-win, right? Because at the end of the day, user of WooCommerce is also a user of WordPress. So yeah. It's not like we're doing anything that's not going to help us in the long run. But it does take time, and we have to account for rollouts of WordPress and when WordPress gets released. But that's one of the things that we're going to be coming back into Woo in the new year as well. And that's why we're kind of vague on timelines in our posts, because we have a rough plan and we're working towards that plan, but it all depends on how easy or how hard it gets as we work on things.
Yeah, it makes sense. One of the things related to that that was noticed the other day is in our documentation about blocks. We could improve that and be more explicit about which blocks are soft deprecated, which ones are deprecated, and all that kind of stuff. I think that'd be very useful for developers particularly.
Yeah, that came up in particular in the conversations around the product collection block, which we've released, and we're making sort of the canonical way to work with any sort of product collection across the shopper experience.
Which I used on my puzzle site. And it's really powerful what you can do with it.
Yes. And hopefully, provides a good base for the flexibility that we talked about earlier, where people want to add things. I mean, you even brought up something that you were trying to do, customize in the block with our team, and injecting a short code or something like that, just as a quick way to add the functionality that you want to add.
Yeah.
You know, that's a good example of, I think, where we can do better in our documentation is say, this is how you used to do it in the PHP template way. And you can often still do that stuff with PHP. It's just learning the new way to accomplish the same thing, right?
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest challenges is that a lot of WordPress developers came into it as PHP developers. Or not even PHP developers, but WordPress's version of PHP development.
Yes, that's a good caveat there.
It's reasonably different to Laravel, for example.
And I empathize with that. I grew up in WordPress. That's how I gained my engineering chops, from back WordPress 1.5. So I've been through a lot of the changes in WordPress. Yeah. And, I still remember Matt's talk. I forget where it was, but learned JavaScript deeply. And, here I was just fiddling around with the old jQuery stuff and realizing, oh, this is pretty serious in the web development world right now. And it's becoming the go-to way of creating rich, interactive user experiences. So, it's kind of this evolution that we all have to go through. And I think on our part, the best thing we can do is help people along with the changes we're having to accommodate. How can we bring our developer community along? Because, I definitely understand that you may have these one-person product shops who really struggle to find the time to invest in some of the newer technologies, and yet are still, maintaining a really successful business around the product that they built and the customers that they're serving. So how can we help that one-person shop who doesn't have the time? And I think the important thing that we're already doing is default to public, communicating as much as we can about what we're doing and the trends on the horizon and the kind of things we think might be worth investing in. Then also the education and the documentation part. And then the building tools, which we talked about right at the beginning of the call. Mm-hmm. Can we make it easier for people to do some of this stuff? I mean, I'd love to get to a state where even we can automate some of the changes that might need to happen in a plugin's code, where it automatically shifts from, one hook to another dynamic with AI. Wouldn't that be awesome if somebody would say, here's my plugin code, I need to do this, and it automatically mutes all that code to the newer way, and then they just have to fix it. Oh, I mean, I don't know if we'll ever get there. But that'd be cool.
These days.
Yeah.
That's my trading strategy. Like, this is how I would do it. How would you do it now? It works surprisingly well, to be honest. But yeah, I think like with the product collection block, a lot of the customizations that I might have done in the past with PHP, I could do super easily with just the block editor. And that was really great to see. I had a nicer experience building with WooCommerce using a full site editor theme. That my picture site was kind of a mix. Like, some of it was editable in the block editor and some of it wasn't. So I guess that's a block theme, right? So I was able to use blocks, but I wasn't able to customize it as much as I have done with my puzzle site. But it's been a really interesting experience to kind of come at it from both the builder's perspective, and obviously that was my background anyway, was building client sites. But then also...
That's a really important point, like the builder's perspective can encompass so many different types of builders. There's the builder who work primarily in code, customizing in code, and creating the bespoke stuff. And then there's the builder who's used to working with page builders and having the flexibility of the no-code type of environments for creating what the client needs, or installing plugins that might enhance the functionality that the client needs. Mm. And that's kind of the mindset we're bringing to what we're doing as well. Like, we don't see the builder as one specific niche of person interacting with creating for a client. We have to think about that bit of a broad spectrum of builder. And you've experienced that, like, between the two sets you built, right?
Yeah, exactly. Which is interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because I come into this building experience with coding knowledge. But I've tried to kind of build it without using code, which hasn't been entirely possible. So there's definitely some gaps there. But and that was gaps for things that I wanted to explicitly do, like, you know, certain layouts that I wanted or certain things that I wanted to display in the product list. But it's valuable experience for, like, anyone working on WooCommerce to do that and to see, like, here's something that we could improve. I think we could probably wrap up. We're coming up to time.
Covers a lot of topics.
We've touched on a lot of things. It's been really interesting to kind of cover all of this stuff as well. As you know, having that engineering input as well as product input is super useful, and I think a lot of people will find this an interesting chat, and hopefully we can do some more of them.
Definitely. Always open. I love it. Cool.
Awesome.
Well, great having you on board too, James. I was so excited when I saw your name in our, you know, Pneumatician's P2, and I thought, oh yeah, here's a good guy. So it's been great having a chance to work with you and really lean into your perspective and experience.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. Awesome. Well, until next time.
Alrighty.
See you later.
See y'all.